Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. It's the start of a new season for farmers in the First State, and as they look at what to plant and how to budget to have a successful season, they are navigating several issues. And some of those issues are out of their control, including the impact of the war with Iran and tariffs. This week, Delaware Public Media's Israel Hale delves into those issues with University of Delaware Cooperative Extension Farm Business Management Specialist Nathaniel Bruce to better understand how Delaware farmers are coping with this period of volatility in the ag industry.
Can you tell us what sorts of things in the business perspective that a farmer is typically concerned with day to day, month to month?
Definitely markets every single day. You know, what's the price of my product going to be when I sell it to an end user? You know, as a producer, you don't really, as a farmer, you don't really have control over that, you know, over what the price is going to be. You do have control over what inputs you have, you know, things like fertilizer, you know, pesticides, herbicides. You do have some control over those inputs, but you do not have control over what that market price is going to be. You know, and that's not just commodity crops, but that's also processing vegetables and things like that as well. So that's always the big concern. You know, am I going to be able to cover all my expenses at the end of the growing season? That's always on a farmer's mind.
And from a perspective of policy that is affecting Delaware farmers, what kind of stuff is putting pressure on them right now?
Oh boy, that's a big question. Yeah, right now, the war in Iran, we'll start there, is really having a big impact on input prices. You know, a lot of the nitrogen fertilizers, they require natural gas to be used in their, you know, to manufacture them. So the war and its impact on, you know, global trade, that's really having a big impact on nitrogen prices. I mean, if you just, you know, urea actually went up over $150 a ton the day that we attacked Iran. So that, you know, that has a really big impact on a farmer's bottom line, especially if they're raising a crop that's pretty intensive in nitrogen like corn, which is really one of the biggest staple crops here on the shore because of our poultry industry here. So that's really a big challenge that they face. As far as policy goes, one of the biggest things that has been discussed recently from Washington, D.C., but that is about expanding ethanol usage throughout the year. And, you know, trying to have E15 through the summer months. If that passes and that becomes a reality, you'll definitely see the price of corn. It may have a really big impact on that price. It might raise our futures prices quite a bit. So that's a big policy thing moving forward. And then another thing that's kind of another market that's developed in the last couple of years, particularly out of the Midwest, is renewable aviation fuel from soybean oil. And that's something that's gathering steam, that's catching on. But, you know, there were some policymakers that enabled that to happen. And that's a market that's maturing.
Sure. And so nitrogen not being used in corn, or being used in corn, but not being used in soybean, can that influence a farmer's decision on what to plant?
Yes, absolutely. And the market situation right now definitely implies that that's going to be the case. So next Tuesday, the United States Department of Agriculture, they release a report every year called Prospective Plantings. And what it tells us is where are farmers across the country, what kind of crops are they planning on growing? You know, where are they going to go? Are they going to plant predominantly corn, predominantly soybeans, things like that, you know, cotton, whatever it is. Last year, there was 8 million more acres of corn planted across the country than the previous marketing year. So already, you know, we're going into this marketing year with way more production last year and a lot more corn in storage than we've had since 2018, 2019. So, you know, it's already looking like there's going to be a big surge in soybean prices. And then you throw in an increase in nitrogen prices. Now it's looking like they might may even more. It may look like it's probably going to be that way for sure now. And when you have an increase in supply like that, you're definitely going to see lower prices. So there's a lot of concern in the farming community about soybean prices and what could happen there. But yeah, farmers do. Long story short, that's a big answer for the question. But farmers definitely do change their planting decisions based on market shocks in the input market, like what we're seeing now.
And how far ahead of time does a planning decision need to be made?
Oh man, they definitely farmers might actually go to the last minute before they decide. Now they obviously have to buy their inputs from their supplier, but maybe a month or two prior to planting, they need to make that decision because they need to get the fields ready and prepped. But I've seen some farmers change on a dime too. But there's definitely an opportunity cost if you do that because you might miss time for the fertilizer to become active in the soil. You might have missed time where herbicide spray to kill off the weeds might have been active. There's definitely a downside to switching last minute, but you do see it occasionally, and that's not really common.
And while you're talking about fuel and ethanol too, we can talk about fuel prices. All of us are seeing kind of higher prices for refueling our fuel tanks and everything, and I imagine, does that impact the farming community more so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, diesel prices, you can see, diesel's even higher than gasoline and what we put in our cars. So think about all the farm equipment that, we get stuck behind on the highway. All of that runs on diesel and, fuel costs. I mean, that's going to be a huge increase in a production budget this year. And even too, it's not just the equipment, but it's also irrigation. We have a lot of irrigation units on the shore that are powered, through like a diesel engine. So just to even water a crop for some producers can become more expensive this year. So that yeah, that's gonna be that's something that really has a lot of farmers concerned right now.
While we're talking about wars, there's the war in Iran, but there's also the trade war in China. How has that ongoing affected farmers here in the United States?
So the soybean market is pretty much dominated by China in purchasing soybeans. So China has a huge demand. If you were to chart it out, China's demand for soybeans in the last 20, 30 years, it goes up, right? The US soybeans have always been the source for China historically. Now we have competition from South America, particularly Brazil. And Brazil's soybean acreage has gone up and up and up. And now China is starting to purchase more Brazilian soybeans than they are American soybeans. And one of the big things is tariffs have a big reason for that. So if we did not have tariffs and we had true free trade, US soybeans would be cheaper for China to buy than Brazilian soybeans, about $1 less per bushel. But because of tariffs, it's cheaper for Chinese importers to buy from Brazil than it is from the US. And we saw this back during the first administration in the first trade war. And, we definitely, what ended up happening was the total amount of soybeans we had in supply reached a new high level during that time period. We are not there currently right now, even with all the tariff news and everything that's there. China's demand for soybeans today is a lot different than it was in 2018. They need soybeans, and they have made some small commitments and some purchases from the US, but it hasn't been enough to really move that market. I mean, Brazil is really cutting into that market, into the export market, and even other South American countries like Argentina and Paraguay are also there as well. The good news on soybeans is the last marketing year, 51% of our total soybean production remained here domestically. That was the first time that we've ever had that happen. There are some ag economists that predict, with some of the expansion and like soybean crush facilities, if you were to plot it out, going out to 2030, 2035, there's going to be enough domestic demand where, China is still going to have an influence on the market, but it's not going to be to this extent. So there definitely is a light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, on the soybean market in the US.
Yeah, you said that the soybean demand is not what it was in 2018. It seems like there's a lot of stuff that wasn't the same way it was in 2018, and yet the Farm Bill is still using language from 2018. Can we talk about what's going on with that too?
Yeah, that's something they're talking about getting a farm bill out this year, a skinny farm bill. And it's not gonna one of the big things is there were a lot of things that came out in the Big Beautiful Bill that address like farmer safety net programs, including payments to producers. So a lot of things that might have happened in a farm bill occurred in the Big Beautiful Bill, which is kind of unusual as far as ag policy goes nationally. Yeah, they are working on a new farm bill for this year, and according to politicians, they call it a skinny farm bill. May not have too many big new things compared to the 2018 farm bill, but we'll see. I mean, that's something that's been kind of, information on the new farm bill has been kind of scant, if you will, just that it's been in that there's been some discussions in different committees. One of the biggest, I would say the biggest benefits to farmers in the Big Beautiful Bill was that the subsidies for crop insurance, because crop insurance is federally subsidized. So the federal government, there's a bunch of layers in crop insurance where there's different entities where if a producer pays for insurance, it finally reaches them if they have an insurance claim. So there's a lot of different layers, but it is federally subsidized. One of the biggest positive impacts on American agriculture and the Big Beautiful Bill was the subsidies for crop insurance increased. So the one input that went down in cost this year for farmers was their crop insurance. And some of the pro there's some crop insurance products that are really useful that have always been too expensive for a farmer to justify purchasing here because of the increase in subsidy. Some of those products, and they're called enhanced coverage option and supplemental crop option. Like, for example, those two products, the subsidy increased from 65% to 80%, which is, pretty significant. But those products have now become more affordable for farmers to select. And, now they can, they could cover their losses up to 95% of what they would expect to get, revenue wise. So that's pretty big, and that is really the biggest impact from the Big Beautiful Bill. That's a real big positive for farmers across the country.
Thanks to University of Delaware Cooperative Extension Farm Business Management Specialist Nathaniel Bruce and our Israel Hale for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. Delaware Public Media's Benta Boutier takes us to the Howard R. Young Correctional Institution in Wilmington to learn how the arts are being used to help incarcerated individuals on the road to re-enter society. That's next on The Green here on Delaware Public Media.